This is an Eye on Annapolis bonus podcast.
Well, I'll tell you, Rob Crosby is a name that most Annapolitans will recognize, certainly because of Crosby Marketing Communications over here in West Annapolis. And we actually spoke with Ray a couple months ago for a podcast, but today we're going to be talking to Ralph, who is Ray's father and the founder of the organization, and not about marketing so much, but we're going to be talking about authoring. Recently, you had published your fourth book, I believe it is, called Poker, Politics, and Presidents. And
correct.
I want to thank you very much for inviting me up here into your beautiful conference room and this beautiful West Annapolis, which I love. West Annapolis is really getting ready to pop.
It's really popping.
Yes. Yeah. We tried to eat dinner here on Saturday night early at 5:30. And at the new Chessie's Wharf, the RAR Brewing, it was an hour and a half wait.
Jeez.
We said, okay, let's go down to Agave. And I was like, okay, well, that was 90 minutes wait again. I said, well, Ingrano just opened up across the street, so let's go. And they're like, don't even think about it. So
yeah, no, it's great, but it makes tough parking.
It does. Yeah. Do you live in West Annapolis?
No.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to deal with the parking quite so. And you've got a great
parking. We had parking here underground, which is great.
Absolutely. Well, for those that aren't aware of your background, give us the lowdown. I mean, how did we get from a little kid raised on Main Street to an author of several different books?
Well, it's a story of wanting to be a writer. As a young kid, a friend of mine and I decided, I'm talking about grammar school now, a friend of mine, John Henneberger, and I decided he liked to draw and I liked to write. We decided we'd put out a little publication. It didn't go anywhere, but it kind of got me into the writing bug. So in high school at Annapolis High, I wrote for the Tally Ho, which was the school paper. And for a class, an English class, we had to write a poem. And that poem got great reaction from the teachers and the students. It was read at an assembly and it appeared in the Tally Ho. And the combination of seeing my stories in the Tally Ho and then printing my poem, it really gave me the bug. And so when I graduated and went to the University of Maryland, I took journalism.
Okay.
And so journalism led me to writing every day. I went to work after I graduated on the Baltimore News Post. It was a daily afternoon paper, competitor to the Sun. It's long since dead. I didn't kill it, but it And then I got lucky. I got invited to apply for a job in Washington as a White House correspondent for Chilton Publications, which were the publishers of business magazines. And most people knew Chilton because they put out an automotive magazine, but they had a whole string of them. And I was the Washington editor of a magazine called The Iron Age, which covered the steel industry, which was big time back then. And because of that job, I became a member of the White House Correspondents Association. And so I got all the perks that, you know,
sure,
that came with that, like attending White House Correspondents Dinner and listening to John Kennedy, very humorous. Word. And I got to interview Bobby Kennedy when he became Attorney General. My wife and I and some friends went to Lyndon Johnson's inauguration. So those kinds of things were not only challenging, but enjoyable. And that led me to a lot of interviews with businessmen as well as congressmen. And then I'm going around Robin Hood's barn here, but what that leads to is my first book. All these interviews that I did, I put together in a book called Person to Person Management. This was published a long time ago. But what the premise was and what I had learned from all these interviews, particularly like I interviewed a Secretary of Commerce, that computers were just starting.
Okay.
And everybody said, well, we'll have a lot of automation, but the person-to-person management is going to be critical.
You know, I think it's funny, as we're getting a little bit off topic, which is great, but in today's world with social media and everything else, we have really lost a lot of the person-to-person thing.
We have.
And it's, you know, a I can never stress to my own children enough that how much relationships matter. And, you know, one of the great stories I tell is my uncle was Reagan's transportation secretary in his first term. And back in the election prior to Reagan winning, he was the chairman of the Pennsylvania Republican Party.
Oh, okay.
And made a commitment to Gerry Ford that he was going to hold the delegation in line for Gerry Ford. Now, Reagan was challenging him in the primary. And fast forward, you know, Reagan lost and Ford went on. And when Reagan was running again, he said, you know, hey, I want that Drew Lewis on my team. There's a guy that gave his word. Granted, I didn't like his word, but he gave his word. And he kept it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and that's how, you know, that was how he had got the job as Secretary of Transportation.
Well, that book, Person-to-Person Management, showed me that I could research and write, you know, a pretty hefty book and do it while I was working full time. So later on, when I was in my marketing mode, after I had started Crosby Marketing.
When you went to the dark side?
Yeah,
right. A lot of people will say.
Absolutely. That's a story in itself. But to follow up, I developed a lot of concepts for marketing that came out of my own thinking, my experience. And that's when I wrote my second book, was It's the Customer, Stupid, which is the same thing in a different way as person-to-person management. Because it's a customer stupid means you have to pay attention to your customer and his wants and needs, not your wants and needs.
Sure, they're driving their car.
Right.
Well, I mean, certainly that sounds like you've got the background to, and you said your first book was fairly substantial.
Yeah.
With the person to person. And I will say that Poker, Politics, and Presidents is equally substantial.
Even more substantial.
I mean, that's a 400 plus page book.
About 450.
And that's a lot of work.
Well, it took me 5 years of research and writing.
Well, it does cover the card playing and other pastimes of pretty much all of the U.S. presidents from Washington through Biden. How did the idea of it come about?
Okay. You know, so
I mean, that's a really unique look into the life of a president.
Right. Well, the book preceding this that you're familiar with.
Right. Memoirs of a Main Street Boy.
Yeah, Memoirs of a Main Street Boy. I had fun with that book. It was not about me so much as was about my experiences growing up in the late 30s, 40s, and early 50s. And one of the things I discovered was that George Washington often came to Annapolis. And when George came to Annapolis, he liked to play cards. And in fact, George Washington's diaries list all his winnings and losings at the card table. And so that was interesting to me. And when I was a White House correspondent, my office was in the National Press Club. And I used to go up to the National Press Club game room and play poker with these crusty old newspaper men. And I was just a kid with them, but they would tell me tales about, well, Harry Truman's poker playing and Franklin Roosevelt's poker playing. And all of that started to come together in my mind. George Washington played cards. Truman played. I wonder if cards had any impact on their presidencies. I said, well, I'll look into it. So I started some research just to see if the idea had any merit.
Now, this is way back when, right? This is back when you were Chilton, or is that recently for this?
Let me put it in a sequence. After I wrote Memoirs of a Main Street Boy, I was then going into this semi-retirement. And I said, what am I going to do next? I'm going to write another book. Gee, what is my subject matter? Well, that was interesting. George Washington played cards when he was in Annapolis and elsewhere. And then I started remembering those poker games at the National Press Club and Roosevelt and Truman playing cards. So my thought process was, well, since those three presidents played cards, I wonder if cards had an impact on them and other presidents. And so in order to find out whether there was a concept there, I started doing some research on presidents and discovered that more than half of the presidents played cards. And the deeper I got into it, the more I realized that they not only played cards, but playing cards had an impact on them and their presidencies. And so I started digging deeper into every president. And as I just mentioned, discovered more than half played cards, but they played other games too. It played, you know, chess was big with a number of them.
Sure. Yeah. That's fascinating. That's really fascinating. Well, I mean, the book does contain a lot of interesting things about our presidents that most people wouldn't know.
Right.
I mean, you've really dug deep into it. And I will say that the book, despite being 450 pages, don't let that daunt you from getting this book because it's a very easy read. I mean, you could read one chapter today and read the next chapter 6 months from now. And
yeah.
It's not dependent on anything. It's a very easy read, but it's a very fascinating look in there. You know, what are some of the favorite things that you discovered out of there?
Well, I guess my most interesting thing is that cards, poker particularly, helped put three presidents into office. My favorite story in the whole book involves one of those presidents, Theodore Roosevelt. Now, you know, Theodore Roosevelt was a New York patrician, a member of the 400,
right,
you know, top families. And he wanted to get into Republican politics, but his patrician friend said, you'll never get into Republican politics because it's run by the hoi polloi, the saloon keepers and
right,
postmen and things like that. And undaunted, as Theodore Roosevelt always was, in his top hat, his pince-nez glasses, and his frock coat, this Harvard-educated patrician New Yorker went to the local Republican club, which was in a place called Morton Hall over a saloon. When he walked in, I mean, they all laughed at him. But he sat down and played poker with them. And by playing poker with them, he became ultimately one of the boys. And when they were looking around for a candidate to run for the New York State Senate, they said, he's got the Roosevelt name. He's got plenty of money, so we don't have to worry about that. And he's a good guy. He plays poker with us. Let's put him up. And he won that seat.
Because he was able to play poker.
If he hadn't played poker with them, who knows if he would have ever been able to get into Republican politics. That was one. The second one is Richard Nixon, and I'll keep it short. Richard Nixon went into the Navy. He was a Quaker. He didn't believe in cursing, playing cards, any of that. His family was dead set against it. But in the Navy, he learned how to curse.
As they all do.
And ultimately, he was in the South Pacific, and he watched the other Navy men, sailors and officers play poker. And he saw all this money going back and forth, but he didn't play poker. But he had a friend who was an excellent poker player who taught him very well how to play the game. And during the course of the war, he won about $8,000. And back then, you know, that's like 800, you know, 8,000 maybe now, I don't know.
Yeah.
How much is what worth, but that was enough to pay for him to run for the House of Representatives, and he won. And without that poker money, he wouldn't have been able to run. The third was Barack Obama. Barack Obama was in the Illinois State Senate, and with a friend, he started a poker game. And in that poker game, no politics was allowed, but they were doing it for fun. They were going to play him for a couple of dollars a hand, you know. But what happened was everybody wanted to join Barack Obama's poker club. And so all these other legislators, you know, the people that influence legislators, they all joined the Obama poker club. And eventually, when he ran for the U.S. Senate, all these guys supported him, and their support took him over the top, and he won the Senate seat, which eventually led to the presidency.
Right. I mean, the guy was so dynamic, and I remember, you know, brought the unknown guy from Chicago to speak at the convention there.
So, though, you know, the impact of poker on those three presidents and helping them get to the presidency, I think, was my favorite story.
That
the
is
book.
Fascinating. That is fascinating. Were there any real shocking discoveries that you found as you were
Shocking, yeah. There are several shocking discoveries. One was that Harry Truman was coming back from a trip abroad with the leaders of the other countries, Churchill and others, and he played poker with the three reporters on board who represented the three different newspaper conglomerates, UPI,
AP. And
yeah, AP. Yeah, there were three of them. And they played poker. But one morning, he sent somebody to get them up about 8 o'clock in the morning. And they bitched about being so early. And as I say in the book, they went to his suite. And now he's aboard ship now. Okay, he's coming back aboard ship. And there's a green felt table set up for their poker game. And they played poker all day. And then they discovered why he was playing poker, because he had to take his mind off of the decision he had made. And that decision was to drop the atomic bomb.
Wow.
And during the poker game, they dropped the bomb. And Truman went to the officer's mess and told the officers, "We won the gamble." And Truman was quite a gambler. he was probably one of the most in the use of poker to get away from things. And that's one of the big reasons presidents played cards, was to get free of the stress.
I was going to say that as I was reading the stories, as I was reading the chapters going through, that it seemed more for the stress relief, or the let's turn the valve and let the steam off, as opposed to the enjoyment of the game. They enjoyed the game, but
most card players, presidential card players, wanted to release that steam. And what happened was they wanted that stress relief, but at the same time, they were using the skills that they used in poker as presidents.
Sure.
And I'm sure if you read the book, you'll know that there's a theory called game theory, which is a mathematical approach to strategize, to use bluffing, to read your opponent. All of those are part of game theory, which is a basis for poker playing. And while the presidents didn't call it game theory, most of them automatically used those techniques of game theory in their presidency.
In their management, sure. Makes sense.
Warren Harding, President Harding, was so much a poker player that in his cabinet, he put mostly poker players, and they called it, not him, but public called it his poker cabinet.
Okay.
And he was not a very good president, but he played poker and other card games. And in one game, he actually, a cut of the cards, he lost a set of White House china on a cut of a cards. He gambled on everything. He gambled on golf and cards and anything else he could think of. He was an inveterate gambler. He died in office, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Do you know whether they ever gambled as a cabinet? Was that a poker club?
Oh yeah. They gambled. They gambled with each other.
Okay.
Not all of them, because I think
you got to have some adult in the room.
Yeah. The number of his cabinet members later became president. I can't remember exactly who it was. Anyway, he was sort of an outlier among presidents. He kept his mistress in the White House as well. He's a pretty wild guy.
That's a whole different book, I think.
Yeah, that's a different book. Although that's in here.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so if we're dealing out cards right now, which president do you not want to play right now?
I don't want to play with Ike Eisenhower. He was the best card player among all the presidents.
Who's the one that you do want to play with?
I would want to play with?
Yeah. Who can you take?
Well, I'd love to play with Teddy Roosevelt. To me, he's the most fascinating of all the presidents. That's personal.
That's fantastic. I'll tell you, as we start to wrap up, I guess one final question I have for you, and I look at your history. You are all your time here on the planet, you have researched presidents pretty in-depth and the leaders of the country, and you've written books and history, and you know what drives people. Who do you think is going to win the presidency this year?
That's a tough one. I really don't get into politics with in discussions, and it's kind of putting me on the spot. I think that Biden will beat Trump.
Yeah, it'll be a tough one. We'll see.
Yeah,
right. We will see. Well, I'll tell you, I want to thank you so much for your time, and I do apologize for it took so long to get here. I know the book had come out just before Christmas, and I do recommend everybody, if you want a really unique insight, I mean, you can find a zillion and one biographies on every president here, but you're not going to find one that comes in from this angle.
Well, I know there are a lot of books on presidents because I've read a lot of them. My bibliography has 500 books and articles that I had to research.
So it's obviously well-sourced.
Yeah, well, you know why it took me 5 years.
Poker, Politics, and Presidents. It's available pretty much any bookstore can order it if they don't have it in stock.
Right. It's available on Amazon, and if you go into a bookstore, they'll order it for you.
Do you have any book signings or discussions? I know with your memoir of a Main Street Boy, you did a couple of discussions, sessions and stuff like that.
I've had a couple of book clubs, like the Annapolis Yacht Club. I talked to the book club there.
But
it's not a local book, so therefore not a lot of local clubs or organizations that want me to speak.
Understandable.
I'm satisfied that I got it finished and published.
No small feat at all.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, congratulations on your fourth book. Is there another one in there?
Yeah, there's another one coming up.
What's that on?
It's a follow-up to the Main Street Boy book, and it's called In the Footsteps of the Founders. And what it is what the founders' impact on Annapolis and what Annapolis' impact was on the founders. And seen from a perspective of someone, me, who walked in their footsteps. Okay. I ate in the restaurants they ate in. I visited homes they visited. Again, it's not about me, but it gives me a place to take off to discuss in the footsteps of the founders.
Fantastic. When can we expect that? Don't know.
Well, I've just started that.
Okay. So
I don't know whether I'll finish it, but I'll try.
There you go. Well, you want to go to Amazon.com or go to any of your local bookstores. Again, Poker, Politics, and Presidents by Ralph Crosby. Has a middle initial of W, so if you need that. Highly recommended. Again, it's a great book to read, whether you sit down and read it from front to back or whether you sit down there and read chapter by chapter. Very easy read. It's fascinating look into the world of presidential poker. And thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you, John. It's been very much a pleasure.
This has been a bonus podcast from Eye on Annapolis. Please visit us at eyeonannapolis.net. Follow us on Facebook at All Annapolis and on Twitter at Eye on Annapolis. And if you haven't subscribed to the Daily News Brief podcast, go for it. And all of your local news will be delivered to your phone, tablet, or smart device by 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday.